This is KUOW, Seattle. Three cases of valley fever have been confirmed in eastern Washington. You get valley fever by coming in contact with a fungus that flourishes in dry desert ground. It's commonly found in places like Arizona and the San Joaquin Valley of Central California. But scientists believe the fungus is now in eastern Washington. So how did it get there? Dr. Tom Chiller is a fungal specialist at the Centers for Disease Control. He's assisting the state of Washington in its investigation of valley fever. He said most people that breathe in the fungus don't get the symptoms of valley fever, but some do.
It can be as mild as a cough, a cold, to as severe as someone getting brain disease or meningitis. Thankfully, the real severe disease is rare. And certainly individuals that are immunocompromised or that have some condition that lowers their immunity are at higher risk for developing the severe disease.
Now, as I understand it, valley fever is caused by a fungus that was not thought to be here in Washington State, but now you're finding it in eastern Washington?
Yeah, so we have just developed some ability to be able to test the environment and confirm that this fungus is present. It's a very challenging thing to test environments in general because, as you can imagine, you're testing soils and dirt, and there are many, many organisms, both bacteria, fungi, viruses, and all kinds of other things living in the soil. And so just recently, we were able to actually find the DNA and the fungus in the soil in Washington State. And there were several cases that occurred earlier on, I think in 2011, that we were suspicious might have been acquired in Washington, but we really didn't have convincing evidence that we were sure that they were acquired there. And I think now finding it in that location does confirm that it is in Washington State. I think, thankfully, it is still very rare, and we don't really know the extent of its existence. It's incredibly important, though, to help define where infectious diseases exist and where the geographic risk is, because it allows us then to inform clinical communities and healthcare workers, as well as the public, that this disease exists and that one needs to consider it when you're dealing with a sick individual.
Well, I was going to say there are three cases of people in eastern Washington getting sick, but since it's new, people might not be aware of it. They might be going around with a cough and not realize that they have it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And you know, unfortunately, that's even true in places where it is very endemic, like in Arizona and California. So a lot still needs to be done, even in areas where the disease is known to be present, in just making people aware. And with fungal diseases, they are exceedingly difficult to prevent because they're all around us and we breathe in fungal spores every day. And thankfully, the vast majority of those don't cause us any problems. But when they do, it's important to get on the diagnosis early because early treatment and intervention can make a difference in the disease severity.
Dr. Tom Chiller is talking to me. He's a fungal specialist at the Centers for Disease Control, and he's helping the state of Washington with his investigation of valley fever, which is now being found here. Now, this was originally found in the Southwest. Do we have any idea how this fungus got all the way up to Washington State?
Well, certainly that's a good question, and we're certainly interested in that. You know, I don't think it landed there just recently. Of course, I don't know for sure, but what I do know is that our recent ability to be able to find it in soil is probably one of the things that's led us to find it in Washington, and I wouldn't be surprised if we find it in other places. I think that, you know, there are different theories about how the fungus that causes valley fever moves around. Certainly we know that dust storms and it can travel great distances, these spores, but there also could be animal vectors involved, in other words, desert rodents that might be carrying it. So I think we still need to study and understand where the geographic area might be where valley fever exists, again, so that we can get the word out and so that people know that this is something that they need to think about.
What about pets in eastern Washington? Might they come down with this?
Yes, and that's a very good question. And we know that coccidiomycosis or valley fever causes disease in animals. Certainly, there's been a lot of work done looking at domestic animals, dogs, specifically in Arizona. And that is one way in which we can try to now understand whether and where the disease exists, because we can go out and we can actually try to look at populations of domestic animals, dogs, cats, etc., and see if any of them are getting valley fever. And if they are, that also helps us potentially pinpoint areas where the disease exists.
In the constellation of health concerns you have at the Centers for Disease Control, how big a deal is valley fever?
Well, I think it depends on where you are, to be honest with you. Many of our diseases are geographic in nature. And so in certain parts of the world, malaria, et cetera, some of these diseases are incredibly important. And in other parts of the world, they're not. So when it comes to valley fever, in Arizona, it can be, depending on the year of reporting, it can be the second or third most common infectious disease in that area.
Dr. Chiller, thank you for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Tom Chiller is a fungal specialist with the Centers for Disease Control. You're listening to The Record.